It's good to be with you. We are talking about Freeway. The premise of this series is that God has made us to be free. He didn't just die on a cross, suffer a brutal death, and rise from the dead so we would live lives in bondage. He did all of that so we could experience a free life. And what I think the problem is I think we know that and we can say that, but not many of us are living free. And when we're not living free, we're doing a disservice to what God has done. We used the analogy of a couch at the beginning of the series, and we said couches a lot of times on the outside look great, but then when you flip the cushions over, you realize there's a little bit of crud, and sometimes if it's been a while, a lot of crud sitting under those couches. Some stuff that's maybe recent, but some stuff, if we're honest, that's a little deeper down, has been stuff that's been there for years that hasn't been dealt with. And like a couch, I think a lot of us have a similar story, that there's some stuff, maybe some of it's recent, that's just on the edge, about to sink into those cracks. But for some of us, there's things that have been there for years, and we've put them way down because we never want to talk about them again. We don't want to think about them. We don't even want to cope with them anymore. We just forgot about them. But you never dealt with those things. You never dealt with those things. And I want to tell you that you are not living the true life, the free life that God has for you, if you've still got those things in the cracks. You may think that you're good, you may think that everything is going well, but it's not the life that God has intended for you. And so this series is about becoming free and going deep and being real and being honest with ourselves as a church, with groups and home groups, and with as individuals as well. And so last week we talked about this word awareness, that the first step to freedom is awareness. You have to be aware that there's something you need to be freed from. And we told everybody last week that this is a series for everyone. It's not just for those that are addicts or those that are in recovery right now. This is for you. Some of you have pushed things so far down that you think you're pretty good. But when you bring those back up, it's like you don't want to bring those back up because, man, that's painful. This is a series, and last week was about being aware. And so if last week was about being aware, this week we're going to dig deeper, a word called discovery. We're going to talk about discovery this morning. Because it's one thing to be aware, but it's another thing to discover what my mess is. What are the things that are holding me back from living a free life? What am I hanging on to that God's asked me to let go of? What have I let go of that maybe I should still be holding on to? What are the hurts and the pains? What is the thing in my past? What are the relationships that I never fully dealt with? And as a result, I'm not being fully myself and who God wants me to be. That's what we're here to do this morning. So there was a couple times a year usually that I look in the mirror and I think, what happened? You know, like, why? And it's usually about these times that I think, I got to get back to the gym. Dang it. I got to start eating right again. Dang it. And I don't like doing these things because I like to eat Chipotle and Taco Bell and all this other stuff. And I don't like working out. I'd rather play a game or a sport. It's kind of painful for me to do those things. But a couple times a year when I look in the mirror, I get motivated because I don't like what I see.
Just wait.
Just wait. It's just wait. Or just wait. What are you talking about? Either one. It works both ways, right? And so there we go. And so I remember a few years ago, this was probably my first or second year here in Florida, Allison and I decided we're going to do something about this. And I've mostly brought her into it because she's always in pretty good shape. And so I said, I'm going to do something about this. And so how many of you have heard of P90X? Groans. How many of you tried P90X? Like a good number of you, right? And some of you maybe don't know what it is. It's basically a 90-day extreme fitness workout program you do in your homes. And it's for 90 days, and it almost takes about 90 minutes a day to do it as well. And so Alice and I thought, hey, we just moved to Florida from another place. It's a strange place. We don't know anyone. We just had a child. We just bought a house. We just started a church. We got 15 hours a week to do this. Let's do it, right? And there's nothing else going on. And so we decided we're going to do this P90X. And I was really pumped. Before the thing started, I actually bought the bands and I bought the chin-up bar and I bought some new workout clothes. So I look good for my wife while I'm working out because, you know, I look good when I'm working out with my wife. Not really. And I bought even like the watch that has the heart rate monitor on it because we didn't have Fitbits back then. And so I remember getting all this. I was so pumped. And then we played the video on day one. And let me just, Tony Horton is the guy that is in the video. He's the one talking to, he's the one that came up with the program, and he's hired actors who are also really strong around him. And as you're working out and you get to know Tony pretty well, it's 90 minutes a day, right? Some of you should listen 90 minutes a day to God for once. But anyway, what I'm saying, that's not the point. But when you start listening to Tony, he tells you these stories, he kind of gets you wrapped into them, and you realize very quickly that Tony Horton is a demonic force. And he's a liar, because he will tell you you don't have much longer to go, but you will look on the clock and say, yes, I do. He will tell you, he will talk to you about some story, or he'll show you some perfectly specimen physical person, whether it's a man or a woman, you'll think, that's what I want to look like. And so he'll do this little hypnosis that when you're almost done, it'll show you. It's like, no, that's what I want to do. And so you'll try harder, and then he will say two more to go, but he will count to five. And then two more. This man is a liar, and it was really hard to be above reproach at minute 70 in these exercises. And so it was brutal. Anyway, I finished day one, and I went to shower, and I couldn't do anything with my hair. Couldn't lift my arms. I couldn't even get the soap. But I rinsed off at least, right? And so it was painful, but I did day one. I did day two. I did day three. I think I even did day four. And at day four, I was thinking, okay, great. And maybe I'm a day off on this, but at day four, I'm thinking, okay, it's not a big deal. Day five is coming next. And day five is stretching. Surely that can't be hard, right? This would be like an off day. I'll get my muscles underneath me a little bit. I'll get rejuvenated, and I'll be fine to go day 6 through 90 after that. And so we start into stretching, and it's 90 minutes of stretching, and it was the hardest day for me. It was so hard. And so not only was it hard, but because it's your day off, hey, let's pack a 15-minute ab workout in the end of this thing that will kill you, okay? You will die if you do it. And so I only did 14 minutes, so I'm still here. But I remember laying on my mat at the end of all of this. I remember thinking, oh my goodness, Tony's from the devil, and that was a lot harder than I thought. That was a lot harder than I thought. It was more than a workout program. How many of you did all 90 days? None? Good, I was going to kick you out. Oh, okay, there is one. You're still welcome here. Good for you. Good for you. But not only was this a workout program, this was a test. It was a test that was painful. And sometimes what you discover in that test is that you aren't quite as strong or as fit as you thought you were. And I think just like I faced a physical test, and many of you did with P90X, we face spiritual tests as well, where God shows us who he really is and shows us who we really are in light of that. And that's what we want to talk about this morning is tests. Tests reveal, and you should write this down if you're taking notes, tests reveal our weakness so we can discover God's strength. Tests reveal our weakness so we can discover God's strength. I thought I'd get a couple amens or hallelujahs or something like that. Maybe you're still so roughed up from hearing about P90X that you can't respond because it's bringing back all these awful, awful memories. What I've seen is a pattern happen in a lot of people's lives. And the pattern is maybe they haven't been to church for a while, don't know who God is, and they walk through the doors and everything is great when they come in. It's a welcoming environment and the music is just right for them, and the preaching, it feels like the pastor's talking right to you, and everything is going very well, and they get involved and they come to Starting Point, which, by the way, Mark announced terribly earlier. It's not like, I was thinking it was like a timeshare presentation the way he described it. It's not like that. So feel free to come, but so you get involved and you get excited and you maybe start doing some things in the church and you're really pumped up and you're engaged and things are great and everything is going really cool and you're thinking, man, this is awesome. I got a brand new life. God is on my side right now. It's going to be smooth sailing from here, and it is smooth sailing until there's a test. And when tests come, especially in the church, man, it's like rats leaving a sinking ship. We don't know what to do with it. Start questioning, maybe God's not real. Maybe that what the pastor's saying is not true. Maybe the people are not being genuine. I don't know. Maybe there's this something inside of me, this sin inside of me that God's still angry with me. And so maybe that's why there's this test that's coming, and we start questioning and things start spiraling out of control, and we don't know what to do about all of this. And we start wandering around and we don't know what's happening. I thought things were going to get easier, but why is it harder? And let me tell you, if you're going through this series and taking it serious, this is right about the time when tests come. So when you start becoming aware, that's easy to be aware. Easier, I guess. But man, when you start discovering what your mess is, and next week as you start owning that, and then the week after as you start forgiving others, like, this is not an easy path. It's not an easy path at all. And I got this on the screens for you, but the pathway to your personal freedom will most likely get harder before it gets easier. There will be tests. Some of them may come from the enemy. Some of them may come from God. Some of them may come from someone else, and we just over-spiritualize it and say it's from God or the enemy. I don't know where the tests are coming from. They could come from a variety of angles. But I will tell you, there's a test coming. There's a test coming. And you're going to see in that test that you are weak. And you will move to something to give you strength. And what I hope you do is you realize that, man, I'm weak, but God is strong. Amen. I am weak, but God is strong. For when I am weak, Paul says, then I am strong. So I will boast in my weaknesses, in my hardship, in my struggles, in my trials. For there you are, God. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I will not fear as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for you are there with me. That is our response when tests come. And I will tell you, tests are coming. And I will tell you, they're coming for you individually. And I will tell you, they were coming as a church. I was really excited this week because this is the week of VBS. And we had a bunch of kids, a bunch of new families. It was awesome. The volunteers did absolutely bang up job. It was amazing. The place looked incredible. If you weren't here for all of it, like, we don't like you because we've slaved so hard. And watched your kids for several hours, and you think you can just, no, anyway, I'm not going to go there, but no. We actually had great volunteers that did come, and it was amazing. And the staff and I were talking about, this Sunday's going to be a great Sunday, because we're going to get some families that haven't come for a while. They're going to have kids. They're going to do the song up here. Everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be awesome. It's going to be amazing. And this morning, you guys are blessed in the second service that you weren't at the first service. Let me just say that. Because everything that could go wrong went wrong in the first service. We showed up today and like all the AV stuff was gone. I mean, not literally stolen, but all the stuff they'd worked on for the screens and everything, just it wasn't there anymore. We started the service. There was no music, right? There's no background music, which we like to welcome people into with. When the kids came up to do their song, it stopped like 30 seconds in. We tried it again and it stopped again. And I actually carried my mic stand over at the end of the service, and literally the stand fell. Literally. There's a closet in kids' church that's never been locked before in life, and this morning it was locked, and we had to pry the door off the hinges to get in there. If there was something that could go wrong, it happened last service. Praise the Lord, it's not this service. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I feel bad for anybody that came last service, but you know what I realized? And people even came up after and said, it was still great. Because man, when we are at our weakest, God is at his best. And his strength comes through. And I was really disappointed about last service, but God still did his thing. And his Holy Spirit is here in a powerful way in this service. And I know he's going to do even greater things this morning. Tests are coming. Be ready. I struggled all week with what to preach. This is a series where actually, because it's packaged so nice and you have a workbook, they actually have sermons already made and ready. And so this is pretty easy preaching these weeks because I just take two or three sermons, combine it, add a couple stories here and there, and it's good. But this week, for whatever reason, I was having a hard time with bringing it all together. And I was waiting for a story just that would make sense for us to hear. And God gave it to me at 5:30 this morning when I woke up. And it's from Exodus chapter 16, starting in verse 2. So if you don't know the story of Scripture in the early parts, Joseph went to Egypt, and when he went to Egypt, there was a great famine in the land of Israel. And so all the Israelite people, his family, I should say, needed to go to Egypt to escape out of the famine. And so Joseph welcomed his brothers back. It's a much longer story with a lot of great details in it. But anyway, what you need to know is the Israelites settled there. And for a while, things were good and things were okay. But pretty soon after, the Israelites started growing in number, growing in power, growing in strength. And so as they grew in strength, the Pharaoh of the land would get a lot more frustrated, and he would start to enslave the people, and it would get worse and worse and worse after the generation after generation after generation. And so 430 years now, the Egyptians had been in Israel. For much of those years, they were enslaved, they were mistreated, they were persecuted, and towards the latter end, they were actually murdering the baby boys of all the Israelites who were being born, because they were growing too powerful and too strong, and they didn't want them to revolt against them. And so out of that, God says, I see the mess. I'm coming. He came to Moses in a burning bush, called Moses to go and get the people out. So these plagues happen. They eventually get out of Egypt and they're working their way. And God has promised them, I'm taking you from a land of slavery to the promised land, Canaan. He describes it as a land flowing with milk and honey. And I think it was organic too. I don't know. I'm guessing. And so 430 years they'd been enslaved, and they find themselves, they'd just been taken out, and then they went to the Red Sea, and at the Red Sea, they were stopped. There was nowhere to go, and Pharaoh had changed his mind. He was coming back after them. And so there was nowhere to go. They couldn't go back or they'd get taken by the Egyptians. They couldn't go forward because the sea was right there. And so what does God do? Good, you guys know your Bible well, right? Good Sunday school history here, right? He parts the sea and they walk right through the sea and the Egyptians get crushed. The Israelites move their way through. And so it's right after that moment, they sing a song of praise to God. And in the very next chapter, chapter 16, verse 2, it says, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Just after God had taken them through the Red Sea, they're grumbling and complaining because a test is coming where there's no food. What are we going to do? Just after God provided them a way through, they're grumbling and complaining, God, we need you to show up because we don't know what to do. There's a test, a real test that these people are under right now. And I can't blame them. There's a million people out in the desert. There's kids there. After the first hour, my kids would be complaining and grumbling, right? I'm hungry. I hate it when my kids tell me they're hungry. I can't imagine the patience Moses had with these people, honestly. Can you imagine a million people, especially some of those people, snot-nosed children? And even snot-nosed adults that are even worse? And so here they are, grumbling, complaining. There's a test. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And what they say astounds me. Hey, let's go back to Egypt. For it says in Egypt, we sat around pots of meat. It was organic meat, I think, as well. And we ate all the food. They didn't sit around pots of meat and eat all the food. They were mistreated, persecuted, enslaved, children murdered. It was awful. And they said, I want to go back to Egypt. I think where a lot of us are in our story right now with freedom and with free way is we very clearly, like the Israelites, we very clearly hear God saying, I'm taking you to a promised land where there's freedom. But you got to leave Egypt and you're not going back. Because the temptation is that when the test comes, and for a lot of you, it's already come or it's coming this week. The temptation for you is to look back on Egypt with rose-colored glasses and idealism and say, well, let me just go back there. Because this path to freedom is hard. And I don't know if I want to flip the cushions over and deal with that. I've dealt with them for so many years. Can't I just keep them under? I don't know if I have the endurance, the patience, the stress, the strength, the grace to endure
flipping my cushions over to freedom. I believe kind of that there's good things at the end, but man, I don't know if I can actually endure it to get there. And so the temptation for you is, well, let me just go back. Let me go back where we sat around pots of meat. And for you, it's probably not pots of meat. Some of you, it might be. That's not a joke. Like overeating is a real problem for a lot of people. And so I don't know what your Egypt is, but I think a lot of you are going to be tested. And in that test, you're going to be tempted to go back. Let me tell you that God can be in the test, but he's not tempting you. The enemy is the one testing you to tempt you. God is testing you to see what you're made of and to see if you have the endurance and the strength. And it's not even your endurance and strength, it's his. Do you believe that he's got your back and that he will see you through it? That as hard as it is, he will never leave you in the process. Amen. Let me just go back. For some of you, you're thinking, and you're going to think, can't I just go back? Like, there's a test coming, I know I'm weak, and so alcohol used to give me strength. It made me feel better. It made me more outgoing. People liked me better when I was under the substance of alcohol. Pills. Can I just go back? I got so much pain. And this may be more on the emotional, spiritual pain. But maybe those will help me too. I don't know. Can't I just go back? Can't I just go back to those websites? Man, they filled me with, I don't know, something that felt good for a little while. And I need that feeling right now because, man, it's hard to go through freedom. Can't I just go back? Can I go back to that relationship? Like, my spouse isn't treating me the way that he or she ought to. And, like, over there, man, it's better. Like, she loves me for who I am. And I don't have to go there and I don't have to wipe butts of babies over there. I just go there and I feel like she gets me or he gets me. Can I just go back? God is saying, don't go back. Don't go back. I'm testing you. Look at this. Verse 4 says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will. Okay, so they're not eating. There's nothing around. So what's the solution? They go back and eat pots of meat. No, God says, I've got something for you. God says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. I've never done this for anyone else before, guys. But I'll rain down bread from heaven for you, and I will do it every day, it says. He says, in this way, I will what? Test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. I want to test you to see if you're going to believe in me that I've got enough to provide for you. I want to test you to see that if you believe in me enough to know that the promised land is much better than Egypt. Why would you ever go back to Egypt when there's pain over there, when there's shame and guilt? Why would you ever go back to alcohol when it's the reason you've landed in prison or in a mess or in a divorce? When I've got freedom over here, I've got a good life for you over here, I've got my son over here who loves you, why would you go back to those websites when you know, yeah, maybe you had a good minute or two, but you know those websites left you with guilt and shame that you've dealt with for days and years? Why would you go back to that inappropriate relationship when you've got a wife or a husband and children that you will jeopardize the future of all of that and set them up poorly? Why would you do that? It's not what you remember. It sucked. It was awful. 430, I came to get you because of how bad it was. Some of you don't realize God's coming to get you right now. And the amazing thing about this story is that from Egypt to Canaan was probably a 40-day journey. And do you know how long it took them? 40 years. Because they didn't trust God. He still provided food every day, even in their lack of trust. Rained it down for 40 years. This series is right around 40 days. I don't know if you knew that. And I think what God wants you to know right now is that over these 40 days, you can do the hard thing. You can flip the cushions and we can see what's in there together. And in 40 days, I can move you from that to a place of freedom. But it's not going to be easy. And so here's the option. You can do it in 40 days. Or you can keep going back. And it'll probably take 40 years. Some of you literally have been dealing with something for 40 or more years. That I think in a period of 40 days, God is going to completely remove. He's going to remove the shame and guilt. He's going to remove the regret. He's going to remove the negativity, the pessimism, whatever it might be that you're struggling with. He's going to take it because you trust in him that he will provide. And in the test, you realize you are weak, but God is strong. Some of you, you want to go back to Egypt. And God is saying, do not go back. Do not go back. Or you will be as enslaved as the Israelite people were. Why not take the opportunity now? This week is more than awareness, it's discovery. So we discover what that mess is in our lives. And for some of you, you knew from the beginning what I got to be aware of and what I need to discover. And that's great. But for others of you, this is bringing up some stuff that, man, it's taken a while. And I pray this morning that you would know what God wants to remove from you. And I just want to give a couple verses from Psalm 139. I want to read the first verse and the last verse. The first verse says, "You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You've searched me. You know me. You know who I am." God, David is saying, God, I've hidden myself and I've worn a mask. I've pretended to be someone I'm not. But God, you know who I am. You've already searched me. You've already done it. In my day, we used to play a game outside, and nobody plays outside anymore until last week with Pokemon Go. So maybe you haven't heard of this game, but it's called hide and seek. And we could play outside, and there you were allowed to run, and you could run in your neighbor's yard without getting a lawsuit, which was cool. And so it's a very simple game, very simple rules. One person seeks, and the other finds. And the others hide. And John Ortberg wrote in one of his books, he said, "It's kind of a humbling thing to be a seeker. When you think about it, the one who seeks doesn't even get much of a title. In other games, people get to be the captain, the quarterback, the center, the guard. But in hide and seek, the one who searches is just called it. You're not captain it, you're not CEO it, you're just it. And to search for people that nobody wants is not fun. People are deliberately trying to evade you. In fact, when we would play, everybody would say, not it. And whatever this means, the last person that did it would be it. And they go and find everybody, and at the end of the game, they would yell, if people hadn't been found, Ali Ali oxen free, which is Latin for meaning liberate the oxen. It's not really true, actually. I don't know what it means, but it means to stop hiding, though. That's what it means in the game. That's what David is saying. God, you've searched me. You know me. You've found me. God's saying, stop hiding. Come on out. Wherever you are, come on out. And then it's really weird the way the psalm ends in 23 and 24. It says, and we looked at these verses last week. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." And what I love about this is like a very powerful bookend effect on this chapter, where in the first verse, David says, God, you've searched me and you found me. You know who I am. And in this verse, he says, God, search me and know my heart. But God has already searched you, David. And so what is this really about? I think this is more, God, help me search myself. For you already know me. You've already found me. It's already been said to me at the beginning of the chapter. God, would you help me know me? Because the truth about me is I don't really know of the truth about me. And so some of you, when I'm talking about flipping the cushions, you're still not sure what that means and what you have in your life. And you got to pray, God, would you help me? Because you know all this stuff. You've seen all this stuff. I need you to show me what's wrong in my life. Because when you're walking around and running around with all this stuff under the cushions, like not only are you not living the life that God has for you, but you're hurting other people. It's impacting other people. Whether you know it or not, the sins and the mistakes that you're making are impacting other people negatively. If you just take what you did in the first marriage and take it to the second marriage, to the third marriage, like that's not helping anybody. God's saying, why would you go back to Egypt when I've got promised land over here? Why would you go back to the ways in which you were living when I've got true freedom over here, God says. And here's the amazing thing that is, as we're discovering ourselves, God says, I've already discovered you. I know you. I knit you together in your mother's womb before you were even born. I knew you. I know the hairs on your head. I know everything about you. I know your thoughts. I know your words. I've searched you. I know the best of you and I know the worst of you. I've found you and I love you. I love you. I've discovered you and I love you. And what's amazing is that God looks at all the crap that is in our life, all the yuckiness that is there, and says, wow, I got to do something about that. He looks at me. He looks at you. He looks at the community, the city, the state, the country, the continent, the world, and not just all of us, but all people of all time. And you combine all of that ugliness and junk together. And God says, you know what? They're going to need some saving. I've searched them and I've found them. It's not good. What am I going to do? And Jesus came for you. He searched. He found. He saw we were lost spiritually. And he came through his blood to make us right. I don't know what it is that your mess is all about. I don't know what you're walking around with or running from. I got another half hour of stuff here, but I'm not going to keep you longer. What I want you to know is that God says, don't go back to Egypt when I've got the promised land over here. Don't go back to the bottle when I've got freedom. Over here, when I've got love, over here, when I've got acceptance, over here, when I've got joy, over here, when I've got peace, over here, when I've got grace, over here. Don't go back to pills. Don't go back to that bad relationship. Don't go back to spending money you don't have. Don't go back to those websites. Don't go back to that crowd you shouldn't be hanging around with. Don't go back there. Because I've got freedom over here. And it's going to be hard. But it's going to be worth it. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, and I'll close with this. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You are stronger than you think you are. And it's not because you're strong. It's because the unstoppable God of this universe is inside of you. And he is strong and he is here. And I thank God that you showed up this morning. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the word of encouragement to not go back, Lord, when things are tough, when tests come our way. For God, we want to follow after you. We want to experience true freedom, because in freedom, we are going to have meaning and purpose in our lives like no other, like we haven't had at any other point, God. We're going to make a difference in this world. And we know the tests are coming. And so God, we pray that you give us the strength to endure these tests. When they are from you, God, give us the patience, give us the grace, give us everything that we need. When they're from the enemy, Lord, help us to realize that, to push through and to persevere through those. Jesus, for we want to be free. We truly want to be free, God. God, I thank you for showing up in a mighty way this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, which is here right now. I thank you that not everything has to work perfectly, because God, you are a great Savior. I thank you that even when the enemy comes and tries to rip away everything that is good in this place, you are stronger. Satan, you suck. Our God is so much better than you. We love you, Lord. We're going to follow after you. We have true freedom in you. And Satan, I say and I declare that you have no business being in this place. You have no business in anyone's life here. For our God is stronger and greater and more unstoppable, and you will test us and you will tempt us, but you will not prevail. For our God is stronger, and he destroyed you, he conquered you, and he will do it again on the last day. And I declare it in the name of Jesus that we are free in this place and we're moving to a place we haven't been before. And it's a little bit scary, but it's a little bit awesome too. Because God, you're amazing and you give us glimpses of what that life is like. And life with you is ultimately the promised land and we don't want to be with anybody else. And so God, we're excited to be with you this morning. We're excited that you have graced your presence on this church. We love you, and we're going to sing once more about our unstoppable God this morning. Let's stand up and let's sing about our God.